Welcome to this episode of Not Your Father Stocks. I'm back with Tyler again. To start out, we're just going to give a little bit of portfolio updates, talk about what we own, how we're allocated a bit. And then we're going to dive into earnings season and discuss basically some of the positions in the portfolio that have reported, our thoughts about them, what we liked, what we didn't like. So I'm going to let Tyler start off about his portfolio.
Yeah. So far in 2020, it's been obviously, you know, probably the most absurd ride that most of us have ever seen in our lives, especially as, you know, managing our own portfolios and stuff. So I've actually been, you know, really heavy on a cash position all year and basically missed, you know, tons and tons of really cheap stocks back in, you know, March and stuff. But, you know, it's actually been really interesting because the market has rebounded so quickly that there's been so much kind of volatility in between. It's offered up, you know, a decent amount of short opportunities in the micro cap space. And then obviously, you know, there were still companies hanging around that were really, really cheap, kind of in the small cap area a little bit after the market started to bounce. So you could kind of, you know, the market's bouncing and you can still kind of pick up some of these cheap stocks. So that's kind of how I've been, you know, trying to allocate my money, finding what's cheap, because I really don't want to take too much risk when the overall market is, you know, kind of a toss up between coronavirus, election, you know, what earnings are going to be looking like. So to kind of get into earnings and stuff, why don't you tell us a little bit about maybe APT, because I'm looking at these numbers and they look, you know, pretty rock solid.
If you look at the year over year growth rates for APT, it's just absolutely absurd. It's like 1500% revenue growth or something like that. It's just kind of funny to look at. But with APT, it's basically what I expected in my forecast. I had them coming in anywhere at $29 million to $31 million in revenue for the quarter. They gave pretty good guidance that's easy to model as far as the masks go. But what's super impressive is that, I don't know, let me see if I can see it off the top of my head. I think gross margin last quarter was like 47%, 48%. And they did 5 million more in N95 mask sales. And just that 5 million in revenue from the N95s took the gross margin up to 50%. So you can see once like their full phase two gets going here and they're done 25 million in masks per quarter, that's still another 10 million in masks. So while gross margin will probably hop up towards 55%, that's just quick math in my head, but that's a decent gross margin for a business that's developing PPE equipment. They also had, this is something that Gareth Alvaro and I were really playing into here. I got to scroll up to my highlights. I'm in their press release right now. Their building supply segment, which originally was where all their N95s were sold, was like 98% of their N95 business was sold to like construction workers in their building supply segment. And now basically all the N95 sales are to like government agencies and hospitals. But without going off on too much of a tangent, like I tend to do, the building supply segment is still seeing year-over-year growth, which is just a great added factor. Like the gross margin obviously isn't as great as the N95s, but if we can just have multiple segments of the business growing and increasing cash flow, I mean, even if it's an extra 500,000, extra million, that's a lot of shares that they can buy back if the price is being depressed for whatever reason. But they stated that they're expecting the sales for the building supply segment to continue to grow and for the remainder of 2020 and into 2021. These guys generally have pretty good visibility into their business. I'm just basically really excited to see. I know they already have 2021 booked up at 25 million in revenues for N95s. Phase two is fully operational. We'll start seeing more revenue from that. The Q4 mask revenues will be bigger than the Q3 revenue, so gross margin will expand there. It's just all more cash to the bottom line. I mean, there's a lot that I could talk about, but that's like a quick overview of what we have going on.
And one of the main things that you kind of touched on that I thought was actually really important in the, you know, APT setup is that what generally tends to happen, what I see happen just from kind of looking through a bunch of companies, is the lack of investors kind of like to chase the growth. And APT was an interesting setup where it was like, okay, you know, this is obvious that people are going to be, you know, they're going to be printing masks, right? How is that going to affect the business? Okay, we're seeing gross margin is increasing, right? From 47% to 50%. It could get up to, you know, 52, maybe 53%. And on the flip side of that, we have this other, you know, dynamic where they're literally going to be printing out more and more masks. So when you're kind of evaluating these stocks, you know, if you're kind of paying attention to, oh, you know, we're going to be looking at a business that's going to have infinite demand for, you know, the next 18 months, how is this going to affect the bottom line? And kind of like what you were saying is, you know, now this company was earning, I don't even know, you know, kind of pennies, and now they spit out 58 cents a year in this quarter. You know, that's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, and the gross margin prior to them starting to sell N95 masks, well, they were already selling them, but not at the amount they are now, was the gross margin was like 35 or 37% to start. And then without making this like a whole APT podcast, one thing that's super interesting is that the shelf life of an N95 mask is 5 years. And so what we're seeing basically, if you review the 3M earnings call, they're saying that there's unprecedented demand that they cannot meet. They said for basically 3M covers a lot, but they said in their medical supplies, which includes their N95s, there's unprecedented demand that they can't meet and the industry can't meet, and stockpiling hasn't started yet and likely isn't going to start for another year or two. Same with the commentary I got from APT CEO that stockpiling probably won't start until like 2022, early 2023. And at that point, stockpiling starts. Then by the time stockpiling gets filled, the original mask that they first had in place, the shelf life is starting to expire. So they need to start resupplying the mask of the shelf life expired. So it's kind of like piles on top of each other in that sense.
Yeah. And I mean, for APT, I mean, you're talking about COVID, very, very related to, you know, correlated to COVID is. And if, you know, at the bottom line, it could just add kind of protection to your portfolio. You know, if COVID is something that lasts a lot longer than what we're anticipating, if there's a delay in maybe a vaccine, you know, whatever the deal is, you know, that is kind of the game of uncertainty that you kind of have to navigate through as an investor.
Okay, I think I'll leave it there at APT. Everyone else can do their own work from that point on. Do you want to dive into ARC ARC a little bit?
Yeah,
and then I'll move on to SMSI.
ARC is, you know, one of, you know, this is kind of my, I don't want to say it's my bread and butter, but this is, you know, something where I kind of, you know, stumble upon something trading very, very cheap, kind of check it out, see what I'm working with, you know, as a business. So ARC, basically, these guys are a printing company. They, you know, print posters. If you're going to do a big project, you know, they'll decorate your office, make it look nice. Kind of get all the visuals that you need on the walls and stuff. And basically when this, what we saw before COVID-19 was they had a lot of exposure to construction companies. So that was most of their revenue. And what we just kind of learned here in this last quarter is that, you know, while construction is kind of dying down, they're now, you know, making, you know, posters for COVID, basically saying, you know, wear a mask, wash your hands, all that stuff. They're putting posters all over the place. I know they're like doing, they have deals with Chicago school districts. So it's kind of one of these companies that I found trading at like a $35 million market cap that has, you know, $260 million in sales, a 30% gross margin. And, you know, one of the things that if you follow the company kind of in-depthly, you notice that the management said, yo, we're cutting costs. You know, we're literally doing everything we can to cut as much as we can. And we're going to, you know, remain profitable. And they ended up, you know, this last quarter, they just printed 7 cents a share. bottom line. And if you're a buyer at, you know, 85 cents and below, you're now yielding something that's really nice. And then the management, the CFO actually let us know, he says, you know, there's really very little chance that, you know, this company does under $60 million in a quarter and anything below a 30% gross margin. And if you kind of do a little bit of math, you can kind of see there that the operating expenses are a little bit lower than that. So, you know, worst case scenario, you should be making around 2 to 3 cents a quarter. And then obviously, you know, there's a little bit of upside there. And they actually think they're pretty bullish. They think that, you know, there's good opportunity then for them to kind of continue to expand. So it was one of the companies that I liked a lot, especially trading so cheap. And if you go on to the website and look at the reviews, they're truly phenomenal. I mean, you're talking 4.7 stars on over, you know, 1,200 reviews or something like that. So their customers love the product and service, and you know, you're getting a good business at a really great deal. I mean, it's up a little bit now, it's almost doubled, but you know, the point is if you're looking for these cheap companies and you're kind of on the ball, always looking for, you know, good, you know, decent balance sheet, good earnings potential, and then, you know, a great product, those are kind of companies that you want in your portfolio. I know a lot of people try to chase the growing stuff all the time, but I mean, these can yield great returns for you.
This, I'm on the company website right now, and you would think that COVID would have been a real headwind for the company. But what I'm seeing is like the COVID, I would think it would be a headwind for one, work from home, less offices, less need for paper, everything pushing digital. But like, obviously that's an outside perspective. Like I didn't look into the business to see what they were printing specifically, but the signs of temperature check, cover your cough, six persons max, stuff like that. You walk into any store ever and you're seeing these posters everywhere. So it is actually probably a nice tailwind for their business.
And to be honest, if you think about it, what they are expecting is for, you know, a lot of their older customers to start, you know, bringing employees back into the office over the, you know, over 2021, you know, the first half to second half of 2021, really the first half is kind of what they're expecting. That's when, you know, they're saying, hey, look, our customers are going to start rolling back into their offices. They're going to need these coronavirus posters. They're going to need, you know, their typical stuff. So in my opinion, you know, we're looking at a situation where they really don't think that we're going to see under $60 million in revenue. And the CFO says, you know, it's really unlikely, like we're going to, you know, put out anything under a 30% gross margin. So if they keep costs, you know, right where they are now, and they can kind of still fulfill that upside, you're looking at, you know, something that could potentially have been a really nice steal, you know, at $35 million.
What's the market cap now? Doubled, you said?
There's 43.5 shares. I don't know what the price is currently.
I can look it up some other time. Not a big deal. Do you have anything else to add on ARK?
I do not.
Okay, I'm going to touch on SMSI here then. I can't say there is a lot going on here. I'm just going to run down through my notes pretty quick. And Tyler, did you read the call?
I did not listen to the call, but I have looked at the numbers.
Okay. So first off, well, starting with the numbers, the revenue actually impressed me a lot.
Yeah, same. It's obviously the first thing that, you know, we see, but I was expecting worse. And to my surprise, you know, it was not nearly as bad as I thought it could be.
Yeah, especially not only the COVID headwind, but when you're currently in a massive merger like T-Mobile and Sprint are, it's just like, even when I talk to the company, they're like, yeah, we're not completely sure if every single Sprint store is like still hitting the marketing for this product like they were. Basically because like some stores have already been transitioned into T-Mobile stores and like are strictly T-Mobile, but some are still selling SafePath. So I was like, that's going to be a pretty hefty headwind to take on there. But, everything turned out pretty well. So like it makes it a lot easier to sit through this quarter and know that they're still printing cash and they're taking every single dollar in R&D to prepare for these customers they talked about here.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, when you have a 90% gross margin product, you know, it allows you to be a lot more flexible, you know, as a business. And I was pretty surprised that they were, you know, able to put up the revenue numbers that they did, considering, you know, I wasn't thinking that anyone would kind of be going into the stores. Plus, like you said, we had the merger, but we have the merger between Sprint and T-Mobile. Like it was just kind of set up for it to be a difficult quarter.
Yep. And then, so moving on for, I mean, they still had like with the 90% gross margin, they have so much flexibility. So I forget the exact number that they had in the transcript, and I don't have it in front of me, but the amount of people they hired this in 2020 has been like 80 or 90 people total. And they're bringing on another 12 this quarter, and they still have done $8 million in free cash flow throughout the year. But now what we're going to see moving forward is the operating expenses are leveling out, because at the beginning of the call, they talked about SafePass 7.0 is now complete. So they don't really need to onboard more. They're onboarding just tons and tons of software engineers for the development of the product. And they kind of had to reach out third party contractors to get this completed. And so it's done. They're hiring 12 to 50 more people, and that's basically it. So when we start seeing revenues ramp, now we start seeing the operating leverage taking off moving forward. And they're definitely going to be, even if gross margin was to drop 2 points, it's almost like, doesn't even matter. It's still an 88% gross margin. So if they can maintain perfection with that, man, that's going to be a lot of cash.
I know. It's almost easy to get excited about SMSI. You know, if we can hit some growth, you know, we're set up, we're positioned, you know, really, really nice.
And the way the revenue just ramped with Sprint only, who was like, they're labeled a tier one carrier in America, but they were one of the smallest tier ones with like 50 million subscribers versus T-Mobile of like 100 million. And now they have Sprint's whole customer base. They're still penetrating, but that's a whole different story. We're talking about the earnings here. So I'll continue down.
Notes. Overall, for the 9 months, we were looking at $31 million last year. Now we're looking at almost $39 million. And of that $39 million, gross profit is $35 million. And then obviously, once we kind of go into operating expenses, we kind of see those pick up, you know, decently. But now if we land a couple contracts with some of these carriers, you know, we're now that growth is back on, and you know, the gross margin is going to print us money, and it should drizzle all the way down to the bottom line.
And then the statement at the beginning of the earnings PR by the CEO Bill Smith was like very bold for Bill. Like, I've been following this company for a while, and I've tracked earnings, I've read earnings calls back to like 2014, and he says, moving in 2021, we remain well positioned for growth and continued profitability as we look to launch our solutions with multiple carrier customers. And that was like in the beginning paragraph, straight at the top. So I was like, all right, Bill, let's see what we got going here, because he's been talking a big game for multiple quarters.
Yeah.
I just think his time horizon isn't the best to listen to. Like, you got to extend his time horizon a little bit.
I've always been, I'm not like super into Bill, but he's definitely not my favorite CEO. He's obviously talking a big game here. Like, yo, let's nail down some of these.
The commentary that I listen to is basically straight from Tim. And then whenever I reach out to the company, I just email Tim. Mm-hmm. I don't try for anything else. But so moving down through this ViewSpot, I talked about to the subscribers, and we did a live Zoom. I think I covered this. ViewSpot was, they talked about a new customer they had that was actually Cricket Wireless. So ViewSpot has been growing. Now they're expecting ViewSpot revenues to be even 10 to 15% higher quarter over quarter in quarter four. And they talked about, lightly touched on, they're looking forward to more customers in the next quarters. I won't be surprised if they sign more mobile carriers for that, which then in turn leads into mobile carriers getting SafePath since they already have the ins with them. Then we have, they've been talking about this for a while. This is kind of old news, but I'll hit on. They Dish bought Boost Mobile. So currently Boost Mobile is a prepaid service, but Dish has plans to attempt to be a T1 carrier and launch something post prepaid service in the future. So SafePath's already there, CompSuite's already there. And then I just hit on ViewSpot. I think ViewSpot is basically going to be what replaces CompSuite revenue. Because CompSuite's a dying business on its own. No one's really paying a subscription for visual voicemail at this point. Mm-hmm. And it's honestly, management has said previously privately that they think ViewSpot could be not the next SafePath, but they believe that it'll be bigger than CompSuite. And I understand because the variable revenues from the service revenues, because you guys will have to check the product out on your own, but the service revenues is there. The carriers always need this to be changing with their marketing cycles. Like, it's not going to just be the same for 6 months. Like, they're constantly going to be changing it. So they need to pay SMSI to change this app and make the updates for them every single time. So those are a couple of ViewSpot tailwinds in the future. Don't expect anything massive out of it, but moving on to T-Mobile. One thing this is super interesting. This is like an absolute best case. This is a blue sky scenario. So currently, they have the Familyware app, which is by Meet Circle that Smith Micro bought. So currently that's their family safety app. I'm thinking that there's going to be a potential sunsetting of Familyware going forward. And like they mentioned in the call, there's going to be just one unified family safety app at T-Mobile. And as the contract negotiations go on and they adjust it to the revenue split, I am curious, and like I'm saying, this is an absolute blue sky scenario here, is that SMSI's revenue could literally just double overnight if all those customers move to SafePath when they make the switch here upcoming in 2021, that they will just move to the revenue share agreement as well. And that would just like double, that would probably double their customer base, thinking about how big T-Mobile is. And again, that's best case. Not relying on that in the thesis.
It would be nice to get T-Mobile to start, you know, pushing our product like that. It's a huge business.
And they're a marketing giant as well. And it's going to, I mean, it's, they own family, they own Meet Circle, who makes Familyware. So it's obviously going to happen. It's just timing it with the marketing cycles and adjusting it to what T-Mobile wants. And they guided again for first half of 2021, which was accurate with the previous earnings call. And then when Bill was asked about, an analyst wanted them to provide more color into who the carriers are that they're talking about when they say multiple carrier wins. He can't talk about too much. I'm assuming he's probably under, they're probably under NDAs while they're in contract negotiations, but he gave the geographies again, which was consistent with the last two quarters, Europe, North America, Middle East, and then the nuggets that we shared with the subscribers in the chat. We think we know who Europe is. We think we know who the Middle East is. We think we know who North America is as well. We'll start to see revenue ramp in Q2. That's when we'll see the operating leverage kick in. And then the analyst, I think his name's like Eric Martin Zini. It's butchered his last name, but he had a coverage report come out. It was like October 19th. And the header of it was SMSI is expecting new carriers in the next 30, their contracts to be signed in the next 30 days. In the call, in the Q&A section, he asked again, are you still confident that you will sign two carriers in the next 30 days and one before end of year? Bill replies, that's our game plan. So I won't be surprised to see one customer or two customers announced in Q4, but I don't know if we will see a press release for it, because the other company has to agree for it to be announced in a press release. They just can't announce the customer's name without agreement there. But with all the digging we do and the companies that we know that they're working with, we will know who they launch with and when they launch with. And that basically wraps up SMSI. I kind of rambled on there, but it's good information. So yeah, soak it up.
Definitely. And kind of just giving you guys an idea of SMSI right now. It's a $163 million market cap. Around $57 million in shareholders' equity. So, and we're looking at, you know, a decent amount of free cash flow already. It looks here like we had $7 million of free cash flow first 9 months, maybe tack on another $3 million in the fourth quarter, maybe even more. And, you know, you're looking at $10 million for, you know, in about $100 million of market cap minus when you take the market cap minus shareholder equity. So, you know, that's a pretty decent yield.
Yep, I agree. I mean, I'm basically, obviously, if you're comparing it to something like ARK, it's not cheap on that level. But if SMSI got cheap on that level, I would probably have 100% of my net worth in it at that point. But you're not going to find a business like SMSI trading at that same valuation. So these businesses are, they're viewed differently through different lenses.
Yeah. And I think it's very possible. I could see SMSI, you know, getting even cheaper, to be honest, like low threes. But when you're talking about, you know, if they're getting back down towards, you know, $120 million business, you know, there's significant upside potential, and, you know, balance sheet is really healthy. You know, they're printing cash. It'd be pretty difficult to see it, you know, get a little bit cheaper than $3, $120 million. So kind of when you're, you know, outlining your trade or outlining your investment and you want to kind of think about risk, I would think about it, you know, with that approach, you know, very healthy balance sheet, nice cash flows coming in. We have cash on the books too. So it's probably not one of those stocks that gets super, super cheap. But if it does get cheap enough, kind of like what Andy said, you know, if this is trading for, if this, let's just imagine this gets cut in half, you're now looking at a situation with very minimal risk and, you know, significant upside. You know, that is a setup for an opportunity that can, you know, potentially change your life and change your, you know, investment performance forever. You know, one of the things that I've been kind of reflecting back onto my investing career is like, it really doesn't take, you know, you don't have to move around too much. Your portfolio can sit in cash. Like, I'm almost always 50% cash, and, you know, I can still put up crazy numbers because the companies that I'm researching, I know exactly what the deal is with them, and I know the risk to reward profile, and I'm, you know, making hefty bets, and it really pays off. And overall, your risk is a lot lower when you're concentrating, and you know what you're owning. If you're just, you know, making big bets on what you don't own, you're at, you know, elevated risk. But if you take the time and kind of learn and you join the chat, see what Andy's doing, like, he knows everything about these businesses, you know, that type of work, that type of, you know, focus, repeatable focus, will, you know, eventually pay off massive dividends.
And I'm just going to add in there that I got my hands on a glimpse of the Roth Capital Partners analyst report, and he upped his price target. Obviously, don't base anything off of an analyst price target. There's so many incentives that are biased for them. But he raised his 12-month price target from $7 to $9.50. And when an analyst generally puts out a report and they're a small cap, they meet with management, they talk. These guys probably have a lot of the insights that we do, but they don't have the specific down to the specific carriers. And I actually reached out to this guy to try and collaborate with him and never got an email back. So, I mean, that's at his loss. But
hey, it was worth the try.
Yeah. I mean, I told him I have information that you're going to want, but I guess he didn't want it. So, okay. I think that basically wraps it up for what we wanted to touch on. Is there anything else you wanted to hit?
Nope. That's it.
All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next week.
Peace.